LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
It's Monday yet again. Here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina, and this week we welcome very wonderful Deborah Voice of BewitchingBee.com in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, back to the show to continue the discussion with Mediumship Part 2. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Deborah Voice. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, your Monday night phenomenon. And it is Monday yet again. What time does that mean? Jump on over to Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Look for the Magic Mondays post. Drop a little comment to win. Have your chance to win a 60-minute or $60 value, 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. A lot of great readers out there ready to take your calls. Jump on over to Hoodoo Psychic's Facebook page right now. And we just dropped the link in the chat. And, you know, I'm just going to say, talking about tongue-tied, we were having a chat about this before the show started today about how things have been, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, this particular Mercury retrogrades period that has been going on or what, but tongue-tied, clumsy, sort of foobard cluster things that just keep happening this time around, and it seems like nothing I have done has been able to mitigate any of these effects. Deb and Reverend James and I were joking about it beforehand. You know, spilling coffee, flopping over things. I spilled my coffee. I need to sit down right before the show. Typed up a nice little document for tonight and accidentally closed Microsoft Word, which I never do when I'm trying to save something for a specific time. Can't find it. Been searching forever. And oh my gosh, I just found it. Okay, we're back on track for that. But I guess that's a little bit about how Reverend Art has been discombobulated, going a little nuts. I feel like my hairline's hiked a little bit further north over this Mercury retrograde. How are you, Reverend James? What would you
Reverend
like to share
James,
with the people?
Reverend James is feeling very in order, like all of the pages that he just put together and all of his Buddhist sadhanas that he printed and put together and collated. So he feels very much in order and doesn't think that he's going to be tripping over anything. So I think we're doing pretty good so far. We did get our shrine room finally put together, which is where all of these little booklets and sadhanas is going to be going. And I'm also working on putting together some of my own branded VBS or Virtual Buddhist Sangha group that I am trying to start and creating documents for everyone that decides to join that and that I can share with them so that they can also learn. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it just goes to show that when things are going crazy for me, Reverend James is like, oh, he's riding the, you know, everything's gravy waves. Everything is smooth sailing. Oh, well, as long as it's working for one of us, that is all that matters. And actually, now that I can't even find my window again, here we are. And I just dropped a link into the chat for the VBS that Reverend James was just speaking about, the Virtual Buddhist Study Group. Come and join us. You know, there's a lot of wonderful information that will be getting shared. We're hoping to have a lot of, you know, really great discussions and really, really kind of deepen the understanding of Buddhism and how it can apply to, you know, a lot of people have it in their minds where it's like, you know, I am Christian, I am nothing else. I am Wiccan, I am nothing else. I am this, I am nothing else. And, you know, Buddhism in and of itself, it lends itself to, you know, really finding a niche and being a strong ally in addition to other, you know, other aspects of your spirituality. It's a judgment-free zone, the VBS, Virtual Buddhist Study, hosted by Reverend James. I am there as well. And we will be hopefully seeing y'all there. But without further ado, so thrilled to have you back, Ms. Deborah Voigt of BewitchingBee.com. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And we're going to be diving into our favorite topic yet again, picking up where we left off. What is new in your world, Deb?
Well, thank you for having me back. I am just delighted to be back on the show talking about one of our favorite topics. I have been kind of in the same mode as you. I've been bumping into things, tripping, spilling my coffee, and I'm usually not that klutzy. And so, and it's kind of interesting because this past month, Elvira and I have been, for our show, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, we have been talking about trickster energies. And so that really kind of kicked off that whole Mercury retrograde with diving into that topic or that theme for the month. The topic that Elvira and I were talking about this past Thursday is kind of is very fitting with the topic we're talking about tonight, because we're talking about the use of discernment in spirit work. And, you know, and so that, I really like talking about that, and it made me think a lot more about how we discern or assess things that go on in spirit work. And just being able to apply some very practical aspects to some very esoteric practices, I think really helps us to navigate our way through sometimes. But besides that, I've been making and dressing candles to deliver to our local metaphysical shop, Altered State of Mind. I'm also going to be there tomorrow doing in-person readings and possibly soul retrievals and past life journeying sessions. And this is this week and the rest of the month is actually a really busy one for me, because then we have like our Beltane Festival at the beginning of May. And so I've been making candles and oils to sell there, and I'll be doing readings there and also selling some of my books. And so that, you know, that I get very excited about and very into the preparation of it and stuff like that. And so I've been busy but and a little bit klutzy, but really very happy. I'll tell you, today in Wisconsin, it's in the mid-60s, and it's like, whoa. I think that's part of the reason I'm, like, so spacey and klutzy today. It's just like spring fever is a real thing. Absolutely.
You know, it's hard to deny that once that weather starts to change, and you know, Doc Murphy is also from one of the more northern states, you know, the colder states, up there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But when she was talking about just how unseasonably warm, you know, the whole year was, that there was, you know, there was no snow per se in Minnesota.
That's pretty crazy.
And, you know, it's the same here in North Carolina. You know, it's not even May, and we've had days in the mid-80s. And, you know, Devin James and I were talking before the show a little bit about how the weather just gets trapped in the valleys here in the western North Carolina mountains, and it hits you and just does not it does not let up. And actually, I'm dropping a couple links here into the chat for Deborah Voice book, The Real Book of Shadows, Psychic Cords, Dreamwalking, Shadow Work, Soul Retrieval, and Past Life Healing Book 2, as well as The Illuminated Veil, The Seeker's Guide to Communicating and Working with Spirit, Book 3 of the Spirit Work series. Those two links are in there. I will...
Thank you.
Couldn't move fast enough to grab the other one, and with my technical capabilities so far tonight, I think we'll maybe I'll get lucky, and Reverend James will be able to find and add the third one for me here. All right.
Wow.
It's so great to have you back, Deb. And I know we ran out of time so easily during mediumship part one. I kind of was thinking this is going to be the perfect time to take a pause. We'll get a message from our sponsors and then maximize the amount of time that we have to dive into mediumship part two. Reverend James, hit that music.
Sure. Give me just a second to do that. You asked me to do something else just prior to it. Yeah.
Okay. Been that kind of day.
The The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now for some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Tuesday, April 23rd on the Crystal Silence League and syndication will be The Power of Spirit, Part 4. And Tuesday, April 23rd on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of money magic. And Wednesday, April 24th on The Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of The Books of Moses and Eucalyptus. And Thursday, April 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be the topic of The Fae, Court Jesters of Nature and Mythical Creatures, Friend or Foe. And next Sunday, April 28th at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman will be JD on the topic of Hoodoo Folklorists. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art, and I'll get that link for that other book in just a moment.
Thank you, Reverend James.
Wow.
I have no idea. Like, maybe I'm just so excited for tonight's topic. I feel like I'm a little manic jumping all over the place here. So we'll do our best to kind of rein this in a little bit here, but you know,
totally. I feel like I'm on the same wavelength as you, kind of. So it should be interesting.
it's like I've had a double venti espresso, who's a what's it or something at this moment. but you know, last time you were here, we really did, you know, kind of hit a lot of the more common aspects of mediumship and mm-hmm. you know the practices thereof, and there's a lot of aspects of spirit communication that I think people really don't really understand or kind of coincide with mediumship and it being a mediumistic talent or part of that gift. And I'm hoping we could, you know, dive in a little bit more and really kind of, you know, have a little bit more of an expose on all of the different forms. Well, not all, because it's huge, but some of the more, more less common aspects of the gift. Where would you like to start tonight, Deb?
Sure. Well, okay. I was kind of thinking about I wrote a few books and I kind of wrote them, you know, the first book, because there's 3 books in the Spirit Work series. And the first book I wrote, you know, the basics, like how to communicate with spirit, you know, how to build a strong foundation of your own spiritual energy, and then, you know, becoming attuned to the spirit realm. And then, like, the second book I wrote, it was the one that's called The Real Book of Shadows. I wrote in there about, you know, psychic cords, dreamwalking, shadow work, soul retrieval, and past life healing. And the reason I wrote that, I put that book second in the series, was because I thought it was really important for anybody interested in doing spirit work to first kind of work on their own spirit or on their own energy. So I covered things like how to remove psychic debris, like, and how to heal and reclaim the shadow aspects of yourself. Basically just, you know, how to keep your own energy healthy, because I think that
right.
Keeping our own energy healthy makes a huge difference. Kind of as, you know, tricks of the trade or survival guidance, basically. Because I've seen a lot of people kind of jump into doing different forms of spirit work and that haven't taken care of their own energies. And it can kind of take like a real hit on your energetic reserves. And I think that the path of a spirit worker can be filled with a lot of challenging conditions that we might get waylaid by if we're not kind of prepared for it. And so so I think it's really good to be aware of our own spiritual energy, any kind of emotional baggage, our own shadow aspects, or if we have any, you know, thing deeper like soul fragmentation, and especially our own self-doubt.
Right.
And just, you know, being able to feel whole and healthy when we do spirit work, because we're kind of working between realms with other people's shadows, or, you know, with spirits, and there's like major energetic shifts that occur. And so I think it's really important just to kind of understand and reclaim our own power by building like a well of spiritual power within ourselves, and just keeping, you know, and maintaining like a healthy state of well-being. Because there's some days where as flighty as I am today, I wouldn't be doing any spirit work with anybody in particular, just because I'm too, I'm really distracted, and just, I think, you know, I am blaming it on the spring fever. It's just like, I keep going outside every once in a while. I'm just going like, you know, but then I'm still, you know, banging into things and stuff like that. And so even, in, you know, though I'm in a positive state of mind, I'm not focused or anything. I'm not, I think that, you know, doing mediumship or spirit work, you really have to kind of be able to drop down into your heart energy and go with that. and so, you know, and some of us might have old traumas that we need to clear away because I think that otherwise, if you're working with someone else who has traumas or losses and stuff like that, and you haven't, like, dealt with your own, it can trigger that stuff in us. And just to be aware that, you know, of how to do, you know, a good cleansing with ourselves. And I think that anytime we do any kind of magical or spirit work, there's, you know, psychic debris. And just how to
right.
Cleanse that away, and you know, when you're kind of jumping into working with different spirits and the energy surrounding them, it can be really exciting, but it can also take, you know, quite a bite out of our energetic reserves, and, you know, ultimately affect our health if we're not mindful of that stuff. And so, and the other thing is, I think, is that when we're not whole and we haven't done the work, any of our own healing work, or doing any reclaiming of any fragmented parts of ourselves, then we're more vulnerable to psychic attack or negative psychic cords or mischievous spirits and all that. You know, so I think our body, mind, and spirit will always fare better when we very routinely engage in energetic practices that help us maintain being whole. And you know, whatever that is, though, will look different for everybody.
You know, that was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, it could range. Spiritual maintenance might range from routinely grounding and cleansing, setting up protection, to deeper aspects of shadow work or soul retrieval, past life healings, or, you know, whatever that means, whatever that energetic and spiritual maintenance means to each of us, it's so important. And it might be, you know, just very simply grounding, you know, making sure that you do that routinely. I know when I was younger, I didn't realize how important that was. And when I was doing a bunch of, you know, readings and psychic work and stuff like that, I started to feel like really spacey. Like I, you know, pretty soon I was just like, I felt like I was high all the time. It was not a good feeling, though. Not a good high. And so that really, really, you know, just impressed on me how important it is to ground our energy for us to be, you know, effective in our own spirit work practices is going to make us a lot more effective in the spirit work that we do for others.
Right. You know, Phyllis in the chat mentions taking classes with a medium, and he loves to use peppermint oil to ground him to the energy he needs to get to. And he takes his shoes off, which, you know, that in and of itself is something that is huge in working with spirit and staying grounded like that, you know, that connection to the earth. I don't know about, I love, that's one of the things I love about living in the mountains, you know, is we are surrounded by nature and can, it's not like being in a city where you have to drive, you know, 10, 15, 20 or more minutes to get to see a tree. You know, and this grounding is part of the healing, is part of this practice of maintaining the self, maintaining your energy, focusing on your spirit, your energetic balance. So important. And a lot of people don't equate healing, the healing practices. You know, you'll see these healing class, you know, places will be having healing classes and there's Reiki and so on and so forth. People don't equate healing and mediumship. They kind of keep them in two separate boxes. And it's important that people know, you know, these healing practices, you know, in large part, they fall under a banner of intuitive healing, intuition, following that gut feeling, that instinct, which is that part of being a medium that is there in each of us. Right there with Troll T from the chat. He says shoes off is huge, but grounding for him includes less clothing, being on the floor or soil, also less consciousness. So alone is easier to remain grounded than with a group. And that is very true too. Nothing like a walk in the woods bare. Like I've been known to get lost in the woods barefoot, you know, for hours. But
I think getting out in nature is really helpful. You know, walking barefoot, oh, I love it. that's just super important. And I think that because it's such a simple action, I know in my case, I certainly didn't realize how important it was until I started having like unwanted effects from what I was doing. And you know what, the thing is that it took me months actually to feel totally grounded again. And so that's like something I always super impress upon anybody who's just beginning into mediumship and spirit work and things of that nature is how important it is to ground your energy, to ground and center.
You know, a lot of people, too, miss the link in mediumship to being the empath and being in tune with the emotional energies of others around them and the emotional baggage of those around them. You know, for me, you know, having, you know, being a metaphysical healer, you know, a Reiki master, a working medium, et cetera, you know, I do teach these things, but for myself, I will always recommend for everyone that if you're feeling drawn to the healing arts, definitely go for it. Find classes, find somebody that you can learn from, but make sure that you take and try and find a medium class, a class to hone and work on even basic, like mediumship 101, just to make sure that you have that a grasp on that well-roundedness that you need as a part of a healing practice. You know, learn the grounding, learn the connection, learn the communication, the symbolism. You know, these are the things that we talked about in the first one, you know, about how you develop that language with spirit and being able to recognize what's coming to you. You'll be sitting there doing Reiki and all of a sudden you're getting these images and you're like, what the hell's going on? You know, having that mediumship class will help you to not be caught off guard by these instances that, I'm not going to say can happen. I'm going to say will happen because they will to everyone that practices. If they say that they don't, I challenge that with a high level of incredulity.
I know there is a spiritualist church here in West Dallas, but that's part of Milwaukee. And, there's also a spiritualist school just outside of Milwaukee. And they...
Very nice.
Yeah, and they do consider healing to be a form of mediumship. And it's when... And I'm not sure. I know it's... the spiritualist church here has been, I think, kind of going through a rougher time because they haven't had their services consistently where they had for many years. But I would always like going to the services at their church because what they would do is they would do, you know, like songs and prayers and stuff like that. And then they would have us do a meditation, a group meditation in the church. And then they would have two energy healers go to the front and, you know, like in a Catholic church, that would be the point where you'd go up for communion, I guess.
Right.
You know, but in the spiritualist church, you would go up there and sit in the chair and they would put hands on your shoulders and, you know, send you some healing energy, you know, and then for a couple of minutes and then the next person. And they would rotate through that. And then they would, towards the end of the service, they would do a mediumship readings. And for years, I think a lot more people started going to it, and so they didn't do everybody. But for years, when I went to this little church, there was usually only, you know, maybe a dozen or not more than 20 people there. And they would do a mediumship reading on just about every person there, which is kind of cool. Where am I going? I'm just kind of... So I really lump, you know, those two together pretty much, mostly because I think that spirit is energy. And so I know when me and Elvira were talking about discernment in spirit work, we were talking about, you know, really, it's about, you know, discerning or assessing the energy that you're working with. And so, and so I think that those two really, really go together quite well.
You did very well in describing the kind of what one would expect in going to a spiritualist church. I serve spirit through a few local spiritualist churches in Pennsylvania for several years. The readers would get up in front of the room and do the gallery readings. You know, they weren't always, it wasn't the intimate one-to-one sort of readings that you would see in, you know, when somebody books a reading specifically, but it's like, you know, it's like, okay, so-and-so is here, you know, who does this person belong to sort of a thing, or, you know, or if they were inclined to bring a specific reading to somebody, you know, that may I come to you? Because not everybody wants to have a reading in public in front of everybody else. So that's just a little platform decorum on that aspect. You know, actually, we're going to backing up just a moment. Troll T had made a comment in the chat about grounding and centering. Is it clear what centering is as compared to grounding? And I'll let you jump in and see we'll give it a couple. We'll go from two different angles on this.
I think with centering, it's basically, I end up doing it kind of both of them together, the grounding and the centering. And because I'm a Reiki trained, what I think to myself is I have a trigger word. I think I just, or a trigger phrase, you know, Reiki on. I put my hands on myself. And I sense Reiki coming down through the top of my head and flowing through my body and exiting out my feet. But as I'm doing that, I am also visualizing that any excess or any deficient energies in my main chakras, that they all come into balance and become centered as I'm doing it. And so that's kind of how I do the centering. I know there's a lot of other ways to do it or other ways to visualize it and flow with that. How about you, Eric?
You know, for me, much the same. We're both Usui trained, you know, but when we're talking about centering and grounding, you know, for me, centering focuses more on making sure that this goes right back to talking about that self-healing and that self-care, making sure that there are no imbalances within you that is going to affect those whom you are working with, on, or for. You don't want to project your imbalance, any imbalance in your body, in your psyche, in your ether to a client or, you know, somebody that you are specifically working with or for. Grounding for me is that digging in of the heels. You are putting that anchor down and making sure that any of the potential crap that you might be about to encounter isn't enough to introduce imbalances to you. It's not going to knock you off your center. It's not going to knock you off your feet. It's not going to mess with your life. So to me, you know, while they're almost synonymous, one is of you, one is more or less of whom or what you're working on, the grounding versus the centering. And that's how I look at this.
That's a very good way to look at it. I think that before I do, as far as spirit work, before I begin anything, if I'm doing something for someone, I'll usually I'll stand behind them and I'll put my hands on their shoulders. And as I channel or as I draw in that energy to ground and center, I'll see it grounding and centering them also. So I think that's however you do it. I think it's really, really important. Something else I kind of wanted to talk about, because I think it really is kind of applies to spirit work, or the kind of things I think of as spirit work, is when we think about, like, the mechanics of a spirit contact, I focus on where I can access spirit. Sometimes it's in the physical realm, but sometimes it's not. And there's many realms of spirit, and spirit work sometimes requires that we go to spirit rather than kind of waiting passively to see if spirit will come to us. And, you know, if we can't find spirit in the physical realm, we can set our intention to connect with them where they're at. Because, like, I feel like I connect with spirit, like, kind of in three different states. Like, here in the physical realm, like, lots of times when I'm doing a reading, I'll sense spirit next to the person that I'm doing a reading for. And then there's spirits that that I believe are, like, they're either on one side of the veil or they're in the astral. And on the other, they haven't gone through the veil yet.
Right.
And then there's also been spirits where I sense them in the void. And that's because they haven't, maybe they've passed so recently that they haven't moved anywhere yet. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, and kind of, probably, you know, kind of give a couple little examples of what that means.
Okay.
I think that, so lots of times when there's, what I think of as spirits who are, like, well in spirit, they have already gone through the veil. And I think that a lot of people think that once their, you know, their loved one has gone through the veil, that they're not able to access them anymore. But that's, like, the total opposite is true. I think that their spirit is very intact. They've gone through the veil, and they can reach through at any time. And then there are spirits who are still here, and some of them are not doing so well, but some of them are. I think that there's spirits that are still around here in the physical realm, and they're here because for compelling reasons, like maybe they want to watch over their family or they have unfinished business. But then there's spirits that maybe have stayed in the physical realm a little too long, and they're becoming kind of fragmented, and they can only kind of manifest when they're drawing energy off of somebody. But, okay, for instance, like seeing or sensing a spirit in the physical realm, I can think of, like, the first time I worked at Altered State, the stop nearby here. And this is about 4 years ago. You know, I got there and I set up my tarot cards and I had everything, you know, in the back room to be able to do readings. And then I went up front to go talk to the two owners. And when I went back, my cards were all on the floor. And so I picked them up, I put them back on the table and, you know, kind of set my business cards out and stuff and went back out again, just talking. And then I went back and it happened again, you know, and I was telling one of the owners, and as I was talking to him, he was like, do you sense any spirits here? It's like, yeah. I said, I can see a young boy standing right next to you. And when I see, it's kind of more like almost like a little flickering image or a very almost transparent, you know, fleeting image of somebody. And what I found out later on was that it was his son. And so anyway, that was, you know, that's like seeing or sensing spirit in the physical realm. In the non-physical realm, this might be a very sad story, but I had an experience when I was volunteering for the Missing Person Agency, and it was one of the last cases that I did, and there was a little boy who I'll just call Johnny, and this was he was last seen like in September of that year, and he wasn't reported missing until months later when his 7-year-old sister told the school officials that her mother's boyfriend was a kid and that she hadn't seen her brother for many weeks, and that was in December, where the agency that I was working with asked us to work on seeing if we could pick up anything about that. And so I sat, you know, I held a photo of this child, and I quickly received that he's no longer living. And that, and I couldn't sense him here in the physical realm. So I kind of stepped into what I'll call the void with the intention of finding him. And when I did find him, I just felt like a lot of confusion, a lot of pain. I felt a lot of pressure on my chest and head, and like the extreme feeling of being like pushed down, pushed into something. And I was very, very cold. And I almost wondered like if he was in a refrigerator or something. And I also sensed that he wasn't very far from where he was last seen. And so I began saying prayers and channeling, you know, love and healing energy to him. And as I did that, I felt like a gateway opened up and he moved on. So that was like in December, January. But in April, after the snow melted, and he was found like down into a suitcase on the side of the road. And so that was probably one of the saddest things I ever worked on. And to me, it's like when I feel, though, that I can't contact the spirit, like I'm not sensing them, being, like the usual mediumship is where I feel like I push out my aura and, you know, and connect with whatever spirit is there. And sometimes when I do that, I don't get anything. But I know that if I go into the void, is that kind of like that spark, that divine spark that's within us. And it's also like some people will use an element to connect to the void. But once you sink into it, I think you can pretty much find any spirit. If there was a map to the astral realm, then I think the void would be like the little hallway containing the gateway between realms. And, so I just feel like it's important to know that if you're not being able to connect with spirit in the physical realm, that if you can go beyond that, lots of times you will find them.
That's a very interesting distinction to make, too. Really, it goes back to what we were talking about, that no two individuals' mediumship gifts will be the same. So we did mention during the last show too, and it bears mentioning again, mm-hmm. is not to feel, you know, discouraged or dissuaded from pursuing your understanding, acceptance, and growth of these gifts, because mm-hmm. what happens for person A is not happening for you, or what is happening for person B is not
right.
happening for you. You know, we're not
yeah.
all the new, I'm going to say the New York City medium, because I want to make sure the other name isn't copyrighted. So,
yeah.
You know, it comes from the same place. You know, the energies come from about the same place. It comes from, you know, your heart center. It comes from your third eye.
Yeah.
It comes from, you know, it has the same basis, but it will mm-hmm. manifest yeah. differently in each of us. I mean, DNA identification works because we are so different. The gift can be mm-hmm. just as wide and varied and diverse as the DNA, you
yes.
know, from one person to the next.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah.
And yes,
absolutely.
The heart center and the third eye are different locations of the body. However,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not. This isn't all something that's concentrated in one aspect of your anatomy. There's not one, you know, powerhouse in the body mm-hmm. that guides these gifts. It is as holistic as you would expect it to be. You know, it involves the, you know, the visualizations of being able to ground yourself in the centering. It involves, you know, the wanting
mm-hmm.
to, and the reaching out from the heart center to connect, to make those connections, because, you know, you're not going to connect if you're being a jerk to people, or, you know,
yeah.
spirits aren't going to want to connect to you if you're
right.
a jerk to
right.
people. So working with
right.
the heart and things, all of these parts
mm-hmm.
Come into play. Oh, and that was towards a question from the chat. Sorry, Deb, I forgot
mm-hmm.
to mention that.
right. I think that something else that's really important, too, is, you know, not only being mindful of your own energy, but also grounding yourself with protective spirits and guides. I think that, you know, that makes whatever you're doing, because I would say if you're a medium, and if you're going to engage in spirit work, there's gonna be some things that might come up that are difficult, and just I think it's good to, you know, especially to have, you know, to rely on spirit guides or at least having protective spirits around you, and also grounding your energy. yeah, because it can be, you know, years ago I tried to form, I had a psychic development circle and mediumship development circle and stuff like that we did. And I know that at some point, like after a number of years of doing that, I did get interested in working on missing persons cases. And I tried to do a group with that. But my sister Sharon did it with me and one other person, but there was a couple of other people that they did not want to. You know, it was just something they did not want to get into, and I could appreciate that, you know, because it's that sad stuff a lot of times. So I think that for me, besides that, I think what I actually had to stop doing that after a while. I did that for a couple of years. But for me, just working as a medium, I think the thing that makes me the happiest is being able to give a genuine, heartfelt contact from a loved one, because it's it does so much to help help that person to feel like that their loved one's okay, feel like they're still there. So, you know, I think that there's so many different aspects of spirit work. One other thing that I really ended up doing a lot of, and I'm wondering if you might have too, Art, is investigating hauntings.
Oh, yes. Reverend James and I we're fans. We visited several locations. You know, the more popularized locations. But you know, it's that could be a whole show in and of itself. I've been chatting with a friend of ours who owns a paranormal investigation group. They rely on the bells and whistles, whereas, you know, James and I usually, if we go, the biggest tool that we bring with us is a pendulum.
Sure.
But, you know, so they'll be carrying in all these cases of things, and I'm just like, that's overkill.
I like to use dowsing rods, too.
Well, and it doesn't do them much good whenever they go in with all that equipment and then come back out 5 minutes later and go, oh, we have to charge it. It all died.
I know we talked about that on one show, and I can't remember which episode we did this on now exactly, but no, it was hilarious. And just a quick side story is, you know, this whole team, they brought all of this electronic equipment fully charged, ready to go. You know, we got to the venue, got set up. They're all hooked up and prepped and ready to go. I mean, it looked like a team of Ghostbusters, honestly. It's like they had everything but the proton pack. And they'd go walking out of the door, and all of the batteries died. The spirit boxes, the cameras, the infrared cameras, all of it just died. And they'd go back into the staging room, and everything would start working again. They'd go back out, dead.
Wow.
They'd go back in, and then they would have to recharge everything again. So it's like, it was hilarious that time. But investigating hauntings in those, or haunted places, spiritually dense places is definitely, it's a very interesting experience to be had.
And that whole thing with the batteries draining, that seems to be like a pretty common sign of a haunting. A lot of times there's, you know, or electrical anomalies, like flickering or radios turning on or off or stuff like that. There's, I think, you know, something that I've noticed is that before doing any house cleansing, I always do like a walkthrough just to see what's up there, you know, and when I'm doing something like that, I can get distracted. And if there's a bunch of people there, if I can just imagine if there was people there with equipment and, you know, moving things around and playing around and stuff like that, I think I would have a really hard time just being able to focus and connect on what's really going on there. In fact, I know that I've been in situations like that a couple of times, and what I've had to do is to go into a different room and just get quiet, you know, get centered, and then just kind of push my aura out and see what's really, you know, in the environment around there.
And yeah, you never quite know what you're going to encounter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know that, I think I mentioned this on show last time, but one of the craziest house cleansings I did was this man, father had died. He lived in a different state, and he was trying to sell the house, and it just was not selling. And so his guy's daughter lived in the area, and she contacted me to see, you know, if I would do a house cleansing. And so so I went there, and it was just like, you know, I did the walkthrough and stuff like that, and there was just a lot of really, you know, strange things right off the bat. I ended up bringing my husband along when we did the first walkthrough, and he just noticed, because he's very much one of those kind of guys that can take things apart and put them back together.
Right.
He noticed like a bunch of very odd, like hiding places, or and then we ended up finding there was this underground tunnel and connected to the basement, and it's just a lot of strange things. And I was going through there with my dowsing rods and just kind of focusing on what I could pick up on. And I did feel like this guy's dad was there. But then I also felt like there was some other things going on there too. And at one point, when I came back, when we were doing the cleansing, the woman that I was working with, she went outside to smoke a cigarette. So I was inside the house by myself, and we're about midway through the cleansing. And because it took us a number of hours, it's kind of a big house. And I heard a bunch, like all in a rush, like a bunch of different voices, kind of whispery type voices. And so it's like, oh, whoa, like, oh, damn, this is a portal that's been opened. And so, and I got a little, I was trying to be cool, but then I got a little nervous, and I'm like, hey, come back in here. So then we finished doing the cleansing, and it was like we burned, like, some rue and some vervain and sandalwood to kind of close the portal, and it could feel such a difference in the house when it was all done. And they did end up selling it not too long after that. But that was like that was very intense, because I felt like there was the spirit of the owner was there, but then there was also a bunch of other spirits that were there that shouldn't have been there. So there's a couple of different things going on at the same time. So it's like, you really just have to just, you know, get quiet, you know, tune into, tap into your heart energy and your third eye, and just, and you know, there's been other things where there was this other place where we did, investigation, or we weren't like really a ghost hunting group. We're more about, you know, doing house cleansings back then. And this other home that we got called to had a lot of electrical anomalies and mm-hmm. strange noises and stuff like that. Anyway, it was like when I was there, I really didn't feel anything inside the house at all. But we went outside, and as I was sitting on the ground, I really felt like it was there was a really pissed off nature spirit is what I felt. And so, like, just getting like information and asking about the background of things, like when they had moved in there, they had built like a bunch of different things, they had torn down some trees and stuff like that, and I'm like, whoa. So I think that you're not going to banish a nature spirit, but I think what you can do is appease. And so what I recommended was for them to replant the trees, replant some of the trees around there, and you know, ask forgiveness from this this genius Losi or nature spirit, or it's like a spirit of the land. And it, the anomalies and stuff stopped after that. And so I thought that was a really different kind of interesting supposed haunting.
You know, you actually touched on something that is another kind of an aspect of mediumship that a lot of people don't really take into consideration is, you know, when you think of mediums, you think, you know, the people they're giving messages from dead, from spirits, people that were, you know, spirits that were incarnate at some point in time. Whether that be one's loved ones or someone that they knew, et cetera, but a lot of people don't take into consideration too that mediumship is also an aspect of mediumship can be also a connection with earth spirits, elemental spirits, things of the earth that may or may not have ever been incarnate. Mm-hmm. They may not have ever had a physical form. You know, well, I know your upcoming show talking about the Fae. The Fae are another form of spirit that mediums can be in communion with, you know, depending on the folklore of whichever region you're discussing. You can say Fae, and you'll either need to dodge or be very well welcomed. But, you know, you'll talk about gnomes and these other kind of spirits, that elementals that connect you to the earth. And I find that a lot of people who are working on developing their mediumship, if they're not getting messages from what they expected, humanity, you know, other, you know, former humans, quote unquote, that they don't feel that they have the gift. They don't feel that they have the ability. And this, you know, this is really, and especially in this day and age, the more you develop into it, into mediumship, you are going to, whether by intention or by stumbling across it, you will develop a language to be able to commune with these other types of spiritual entities. You know, they talk about, you know, a lot of people will even talk about, you know, like ETs, like extraterrestrials and such, you know, creatures that have never been incarnate on this planet, but maybe on another planet. These things, they do exist. And it's another thing that I want to put out there, that don't count yourself out of the mediumship realm just because you're not hearing from Great Aunt Sally, who wants to share her pecan pie recipe with you. There are languages to be developed with so many other entities. It can really be mind-boggling. It can be overwhelming, and that it goes
it can,
back.
Yeah.
Hey, Maganda made a comment back quite a ways back, actually, in the chat about, you know, having somebody to practice with and having somebody that you trust to learn from. You know, that is huge in some of these instances because it can get overwhelming quick.
Yeah, it really can. And, yeah, I know as I've been talking, you know, I just want to say, you know, that I've been talking about how I access things, how I access spirit. And so, but that's just me. I mean, I think that a lot of the ways that I was doing it was actually a lot more spontaneous, and I don't think that I had a way to define or even name some of the processes of what I was doing. And I only think it was more because of writing the books that I tried to put them, you know, put my experiences into words. And so, but I wouldn't get, like, for anyone who is an aspiring medium or a practicing medium, I wouldn't get on how I do it or how somebody else does it. Just pay attention to how you do it or how you connect or how you sense spirit. And just, you know, I think one of the most vital, most important parts of spirit work in mediumship is to be able to just remove self-doubt. I think it's important to accept that you're not going to hit 100%. I don't know any mediums that hit 100%. If you're able to get, you know, I always say anything over 50%, but I think the professional mediums are probably like 80% or something like that. But I think that everybody does it a little different. And everybody has, you know, ends up kind of developing their own process. And I think it's, you know, it's very important to, you know, seek out good experience where you can get feedback. And also feel like safe and comfortable enough to say what you're getting. And, yeah. Because I think the biggest, you know, hindrances to anyone doing mediumship is things having to do with fear, you know, fear of not getting it right or fear of, negative spirits, fear of, you know, fear of a lot of different things. And, it's just, you know, you have to be able to give yourself a big old hug and say, like, you know what, this is what, you know, this is what I'm getting, this is what I sense. And I think that for any of us who are practicing mediums, I think that first time that you hear somebody say, like, you know, oh, that's, you know, that's my loved one, it just, it's such a heartwarming, heartfelt experience.
It can take your breath away.
yeah, it really can. Yeah.
You know, there's a question in the chat, and I kind of answered it in the chat a little bit, but Tolte had asked, does mediumship therefore overlap into priest or priestessing, like, I meaning people that are engaging in God connections, angelic communications, extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings? And I'll read off what I put into the chat, you know, is that yes, you know, whether individuals would claim that their innate use of a mediumistic talent, I posit that mediumship overlaps into almost every aspect of existence and spiritual connection, even for atheists and agnostics. You know, the gifts of that interconnectedness it's part of our, and I guess this can go back a little bit to the DNA talk, the genetic heritage of who we are and how we are. It's used, whether it's named, by just about everyone, just about every day. And that I have yet to be argued down on that. I welcome anyone that wants to have that discussion. What do you think, Deb?
Oh, as far as, you know, I really do believe that we're all, you know, spirits having a physical experience. You know, I think that we're all connected and that I think that as far as like, are you more asking like about how does mediumship kind of pervade over all the other types of spirit, spirit interactions or spirit workings?
Well, for me, you know, a lot of people will say I'm not a medium, but yet they are talking, you know, they're asking, say, you know, say they're a kitchen witch. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
asking the herbs, you know, would you like to work with me in accomplishing this? Or,
okay.
you know, they'll see, you know, walking through the woods,
right.
they'll see a crystal and they'll pick it up and ask, would you like to come home with me? You know,
mm-hmm.
these
oh yeah,
mediumship in is has such a it's one word that embraces a just I can't think of the word that I want to use here. Just
it's
such
like
an array.
Everything is alive with spirit. You know, from what you were saying, like herbs, crystals, the trees, the plants, the animals, you know, everything is alive with spirit. And I think that when you're open to that and you're doing mediumship or spirit work, you're realizing how much you are really connected to everything around you. That whole, you know, yeah, I think that everything is alive with spirit, and I think that everything has whatever that spark of the divine is within everything.
You know, and think of spell work too. You know, when working a spell, how
mm-hmm.
often intuition plays a part in that. You know, that
mm-hmm.
quote unquote gut feeling that you know we have the doctrine of signatures. This leaf looks like a heart that's going
yeah.
to be used in this love working.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but when did five finger grass become, you know, where did it fall into the realm of, you know,
mm-hmm.
money drawing or, you know, all of these different things. It all comes
yeah.
together. There
mm-hmm.
is this interconnectedness amongst all things. And I don't think
mm-hmm.
anybody can actually say that they do not use any mediumistic talent.
Oh, right, sure, yeah. I think if you're, unless you're like totally cut off for some reason from that life energy, it's. I think that you're right. I think that you know, magic is you know it, that whole thing of spirit and the energy of it is. You know, all throughout magic. Whether you want to just think of it in simple terms as the power of attraction, or whether you're casting spells or baking a pie for somebody you love. You know, it's. I think that everything is energy, and so, yeah.
It's kind of funny because I just looked at the time and we're down to our last
mm-hmm.
9 minutes already. really can't believe we flew through another hour and a half and we didn't get to talk about a lot of the more intriguing spirit communication tools and things that, you know, that a lot of people really don't know
yeah.
about. So we
mm-hmm.
we very well may have to schedule a part three. But you know, really getting down to the crux of the mediumship talent, and for me, it is really realizing and trusting yourself to bringing that to the forefront, and recognizing it for what it is. you know, you can't you can't foster something that you deny. You can't grow something that you are necessarily afraid of or hide in the deepest, darkest reaches of your individual self.
I think that a lot of people I've noticed will, share an experience and be like, I'm just thinking of when I was a kid, the people in my family were always seeing spirits or sensing spirits. There's always somebody at the foot of the bed, you know. And I think that what I've noticed is with some folks is that they will tell you their story. They'll get excited about the experience they had. But then after it kind of wears off, after a few days, you know, the wonder or the excitement of that experience, then a lot of people, because I think that society really kind of encourages us to not connect with spirit and stuff like that, that it's like, you know, we start to fill with self-doubt, like, no, oh, that didn't, you know, that was just a coincidence, or that didn't really happen, or, you know, that must have been my imagination, or something along those lines. I love hearing about other people's experiences or what, you know, who they've connected with, synchronicities have come up for them, or deja vu, or, you know, whatever it is that they've connected with that was significant. And just to, you know, encourage that and to not doubt yourself and to, you know, allow yourself the freedom to be able to tap into those things. Even when we have, you know, others telling us, you know, other naysayers or people saying like, oh, that's a bunch of BS or whatever.
You know, a lot of really good kind of questions and such that really enriched the discussion tonight and kind of really added a lot of flavor, a lot of color. You know, it's really one, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. You know, when talking about developing your mediumship in conjunction with developing the healing skills and developing empathy and so on and so forth, it really is all part and parcel. It really is all in one way, shape, or form interconnected. And it really does need to have its individual focuses. You know, not to say to overload yourselves and start taking, you know, like three huge life altering shadow work inducing kind of courses all at once and really kind of throwing yourself out there for a loop. Put the time in and really examine what's out there and be aware that there, and this is a warning, I guess, that should be that I will always put out, is, mm-hmm. you know, there are people out there that are there just to be on the take. Do your due diligence when you are jumping into learning a spiritual practice. Connect with, like Deb said about, like a spiritualist church, or a spiritualist organization. It's Camp Wanawak is close by you, correct?
Right. Yep. It's up here in Wisconsin.
You know, there's Camp Chesterfield in Indiana. There is mm-hmm. Camp Canandaigua in Florida. There is the Lilydale Assembly in New York. And, you know, there are multiple other organizations that, you know, have really built themselves up to be that reputable resource for learning and education. You know, seek these out. You know, there's a lot of AIR is another one. You know, the Association of Independent mm-hmm. Readers and Root Workers that, you know, Reverend James, Deb, and myself, we're all members of. You know, we took an ethics pledge to be a part of this, to be able to provide, you know, guidance and really to be there to help others on their spiritual journeys, providing the tools, services, et cetera, to support everyone on their paths.
Mm-hmm.
And just through the AIR organization, readersandrootworkers.org on the interwebs, a lot of different practitioners from a lot of different walks of life, read through our bios, find somebody you connect with, reach out and say, hey, I have a question. Don't be afraid of doing these things. Hey, Maganda just added another one for the list. The Golden Gate Spiritualist Church in San Francisco. At least I'm guessing that's what SF is. If I'm wrong, correct me.
there's a
Golden Gate Bridge. I'm kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There's the Morris Pratt Institute in Wisconsin here too. I think that's the only spiritualist school, and I'm sure that they have like remote, you know, classes and stuff.
You know, there's also Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment.
Ooh.
The ARE. They are in Virginia. That is available. There's actually a few independent schools in the UK as well that have
Arthur Findlay.
That was it. Arthur Findlay was the number one school that I think of that, you know, they do correspondence courses where you can attend. I mean, be prepared for a time zone shocker, because if it starts at 9 a.m. in the UK, and you're on the East Coast, you are going to be starting at 3 in the morning. But here at the end of the show, we have about 30, 40 seconds left. Do your due diligence, you know, reach out to Reverend James, myself, or Deb. You know, we're here as well to assist, to help, to guide, and give some direction along those lines. Anything you'd like to share before we go, Deb?
No, I just, I love all the info you shared at the end here, and just, I just want everybody to, you know, to pay attention to how you feel, what your intuition tells you, how you connect with spirit, and just, just have, you know, not confidence, but just, you know, I'm pretty scattered. There's too much spring fever here.
Hey Deb, what do you think? Do we have enough for part three?
I think so. Oh, especially if you're talking about tools, the automatic writing and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. Until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Deborah Voith of BewitchingBee.com in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be welcoming another fine guest. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at volkondra.com, at Volkondra on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from volkondra.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here, and be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us yet again. Many blessings for a wonderful week. We hope to see you here. Same magical time next week. Peace out. Good night.